Hello and welcome to OU's Nach Yomi. You can find this year posted at ouradio.org/nach or on my website, ericlevy.com, under the recording section. Hello, this is Rabbi Eric Levy, and I'm happy to bring to you Perek Nun, chapter 50 of Sefer Yishayahu. Ko amar Adonai, eze sefer kiritut imechem asher shlachtiha, o mi minoshai asher macharti etchem lo, hein ba'avonotechem nimkartem, uvfish echem shulecha imechem. The message here is straightforward, as is the tension behind the statement. So says the Lord, where are the divorce papers, the get, of your mother, who I sent away? Also, who is the creditor to whom I sold you? Behold, it is because of your own sins that you were sold, and for your own rebellion that your mother was sent away. There's a nice chiastic structure here. Chiastic structure means AB, then BA. First, there's the question of divorce, then the question of the loan debt, then an explanation of the loan debt, and then an explanation of the divorce. What God is saying to the children of Israel in exile is that it was not because of his indebtedness that caused him to sell his children to pay off the debt. It is because of their own sin that they were sold off. And the mother, which is a metaphor for Knesset Israel, which is sort of like a feminine representation of the entire nation of Israel, was not sent away because of God's own choice, but because, again, the sin of the children caused God to exile Knesset Yisrael. What's clear here is that there were those in Bavel who were crying out for a permanent divorce or felt that they should suffer in their exile forever. That is, they felt that once God had divorced them, once he had broken his covenant, it was broken forever. On the other hand, God is saying that from his side, he never wrote a divorce document. He never broke the covenant, which explains why they can now, and in fact must now, return home. Madua bati ve'ein ish, karati ve'ein oneh, hakatzor katzira yadi mipedut, v'im'ein bichoach lahatzil, hein bega'arati achariv yam, asim naharot midbar, tivash digatam me'ein mayim, vitamot batzama. Why did I come when there's nobody here? Ain ish, or it could be that ish in the sense of a leader, and ish very often is not just a person, but an important person. Why did I call out and no one answers? You think my arm is too short to redeem? You think I have no strength to save? Behold, with my rebuke or with my command, I cause the sea to dry. This is probably referring to the drying and the splitting of the Red Sea of the Israelite exodus from Egypt. I make the rivers into a desert, and this is probably referring to the drying up of the Jordan when Joshua crossed over with the people into Israel. Their fish rot from lack of water, dying in thirst. And this is probably a 10 plagues imagery. I think specifically the turning of the Nile's blood into water into blood, which caused all of the fish to die and to stink. Albish shamayim kadrut v'sak asim kesutam. I dress the sky in darkness, or the skies in darkness, and place sackcloth as its clothes. This is still probably referring to the plagues of Egypt, or perhaps talking to the day when God will come in all of his wrath to redeem Israel and to punish the nations. And the truth is, this is a really cool use of metaphor, because the skies are actually being personified as if they are someone in mourning who is wearing clothes of mourning and perhaps bereaved because God is changing the natural order. And now Isaiah, or one of his students, starts to speak. That is, up to this point, God was very upset at the people because he came to them through his prophet, no doubt, and said, now's the time to go. And they're all complaining about how they can't go and how the covenant is permanently broken. And he's saying, just like I took you out of Egypt, I could take you out of here. Adonai Elohim natan li lishon limudim ladat la'ut et ya'if davar ya'ir baboker ya'ir li ozen lishmoa kalimudim. The Lord God gave me a skill at language in order to know how to support those who are exhausted. He, God, inspires me every morning, Ya'ir Baboker Baboker. He stirs my ear to listen with skill. Adonai Elohim, Patach li ozen, v'anochi lo mariti, achor lo nesugoti. the Lord God open an ear for me, or open my ear, that is, he sent his prophecy through, and I did not rebel, nor did I pull away. The reason why the prophet would rebel against hearing the word of God is not because he wouldn't believe in them. That's not what the prophet says he overcame. The problem is that the prophet is quite justifiably concerned that the consequences and danger of bringing the often critical words of God to the people is that they kill him. They kill the messenger. But our prophet describes himself as being solid, as being unwavering in his duty, that when he hears God speak to him to give a message, he goes and he delivers that message. Gevai natati lemakim, ulchayai lemoratim, panai lohistarti mikalimot varok. I expose my body to flogging and my cheeks to a depilation, that is a pulling off of the hair. I did not hide my face from insult and spittle. Apparently, backlashings and ripping out of the beards was something like the tar and feathering of the early American colonies and various other forms of, not so much torture, but really an attempt to shame the offending person. In this case, the prophet is the offending person. And what the prophet is really saying, perhaps to God and perhaps to the people, is the people are not listening to God to go home. And he's saying, don't think it's because I didn't tell you what I need to tell you. I have a good tongue to tell you things in the correct way. I hear things pretty much how God wants to. I hear things kalimudim, as God wants them to be heard. And I came to you and I didn't back down no matter what you did to me. So the onus is not on me, the prophet. The onus is on you, the people. Vadunai Elohim yazor li. Alkein lo nichlamti. Alkein samti fanai kachalamish va'ida ki lo evosh. And my Lord God will help me. Or always help me. Yazor li doesn't really mean he will help me. It means he always has and always will. So I was not disgraced. I made my face like flint, and I knew, or I know, that I would not be ashamed. The prophet is explaining his faith in and faithfulness to God, that no matter what, whether the people are not listening to him and his prophecy, specifically this return to go home from Zion, or worse, they may be torturing him for his audacity to criticize them. God gave him clear hearing and a talented tongue, and so the least he could do is show some bravery. And in the next verse, we'll see where the bravery comes from. It's the faith of a true believer. Notice, by the way, that the repetition in most of these verses of the phrase, Hashem Elohim, Lord my God, or really my Lord the God, my Lord God. Karov matzdiki mi ariviti na'am dayachad mi val mishpati yigash elai. My defender, literally the one who makes me right, is close to me. That is, God is close to me. So whoever wants to fight with me, let's stand together. The image is in a courtroom where God is the defense attorney. And he's saying, whoever wants to come and stand next to me as the complaint to my defendant, let him come and have a court case to me. Whoever wants a case with me, mi bal mishpati, yigash elai, let him come close. The prophet is sure of winning his case. Hein Adonai Elohim yazor li, he repeats. Behold, my Lord God will always help me. Mi hu yarshi eini, so who will condemn or convict me? Hein kulam kabeged yivlu ash yocheleim. All of them will be like worn through clothes eaten by moths. Mi bachem yirei Adonai shomea b'kol avdo asher halach chashichim ve'ein nogalo yiftach b'shem Adonai v'yishain be'lo hav. And now the prophet gets to the meat and potatoes. That is, up to now, his discussion is really how the people won't listen to God, and that God has not permanently sent away his people, and that the exile is over, or soon to be over, and that they should go home. And then he says, afterwards, he won't back down, even if they torture him and try to shame him, he will not be shamed. And now he says, quote, and now, who among you who fears God and listens to the words of his servant? If you remember from last chapter, Eved could either be the prophet himself, Yeshayahu, or perhaps a student, or Cyrus the Great, or I suggested perhaps a superimposed image of both of them together, God's word and God's strength together. Who of you who is now walking in the darkness with no beam of light, no ray of light, Let him have faith in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Why does it say to have faith in the name of God rather than just faith in Hashem? So the name of Hashem carries the definition of God's attributes. The personal God, the fact that I was and I am and I always will be, that kind of eternal God, which we saw also in two chapters ago. Hein kulachem kodchei esh me'azarei zikot l'chu ba'or eshchem uv'zikot bi'artem mi'adi hayita zot lachem l'ma'at seva tishkavun. And now, ending off with a shot against those who won't listen and have faith, he says, behold, all of you who burn fires, who adorn yourselves with firebrands. This could be metaphoric, people who stir up the masses with fiery talk and prevent the people from doing what they need to do. Getting back to the pasuk, walk by the light of your fires and with the brands that you have burned. From me, God, this comes to you. In sorrow, you will lie down or die. And what he's referring to is as they walk along with their fire and they get burned with their own burns, it's none other than God that is making this happen. It is God that is causing them to lie down or to die.